there, Story Miners. Welcome once again to the Memoir Club, where everyday memories become unforgettable stories. So grab your favorite drink, open up that notebook, and settle in. I'm your host, Wayne Jordan, and today we're digging into a memory that just might surprise you. So let's get started. Just for fun, I've titled episode 13, Love Hurts, First Crush, First Crash. We'll start with a story from my teenage years when I was convinced that mastering a dance step would win the girl of my dreams. Then we'll step back and reflect on why those early heartbreaks still matter in our writing. And we'll close with practical tips you can use to shape your own stories of heartache into short, sharp, memorable scenes. Sometimes love hurts. Even at 13, when love amounts to nothing more than a smile across the cafeteria or a Valentine slipped into a desk. Back then, we thought the stakes were as high as they could be. One look, one word, one yes or no was enough to make or break our young hearts. The thing is, those early heartbreaks still echo faintly today. They remind us what it felt like to want something so badly and not get it, or to put ourselves out there only to fall flat. And if we're honest, some of those moments are still embarrassing enough to make us blush, even decades later. So today we're going to talk about first crushes and first crashes. I'll share my own story of a holiday dance gone horribly wrong. Then we'll talk about how to write about love's misfires without rambling or overdoing it. And later, I'll answer a question from our listener mailbox about how to keep stories from wandering off track. Here's my personal story. When I was 13, I was lanky and awkward and convinced that the only thing standing between me and true romance was learning how to dance. I had my eye on a girl named Sally. She had teased auburn hair, braces, green eyes. Oh, to me, she looked like a movie star, and I had a plan. You see, the school's holiday hop was coming up, and I'd been practicing my dancing for weeks. Every afternoon, I came home from school, shut my bedroom door, put on a stack of 45s, and copied dance moves from American Bandstand. My specialty was the peppermint twist. Remember that one? Joey D and the Starlighters, a little hop, a little spin, arms swinging in a circle. Oh, I looked great in the mirror, and I was sure it would look just as good in the cafeteria. Well, the night of the dance, I went all in. Spit shined my shoes, hair slicked back with Brill Cream, Old Spice aftershave splashed liberally on my face, and I didn't even shave. Starched white shirt, skinny tie, pegged black pants, and a Madras sport coat. Oh boy, when I walked out the door, I looked in the mirror and thought, James Dean, eat your heart out. Well, the cafeteria at school was decked out in crepe paper streamers, stars dangling from the ceiling, and a record player up by the stage. The girls were already out on the dance floor doing the stroll. The boys, me included, were huddled in the corner pretending that we weren't terrified. Then the peppermint twist started playing. My song, my big chance. Well, I set down my cup of punch, took a deep breath, and began the long walk across the room. Every step felt like I was marching in front of a firing squad. Sally and her friends stopped talking and looked at me. My mouth went dry, my stomach twisted, and I blurted out, "Sally, will you dance with me?" And she paused, long enough for me to age about a decade, and then she smiled and said, "Sure." Well, I was ecstatic. I took her hand, led her to the floor, and launched into the peppermint twist. I jumped, I spun, I circled my arms. I was really focused on my moves. This was my moment. Joey D and the Starlighters would have been proud. And then I looked up. But Sally wasn't twisting. She wasn't even moving. She just stood there, mouth open, staring at me like I was from another planet. I stopped and looked at her and shrugged as if to say, "What?" She laughed, flicked her hand at me in dismissal, and walked straight back to her friends, who were now in stitches. And there I was, alone in the middle of the dance floor, twisting in the wind like a broken kite, my face burned, my heart pounded. My humiliation was complete. So I shuffled back across the cafeteria, slumped into a folding chair, and stared at the floor. My first big attempt at romance had crashed and burned, loudly, publicly, and with giggling witnesses. At 13, it felt like the end of the world, and I swore I'd never dance again. But here's the thing. What felt like the end of the world at 13 turned out to be just the beginning of a good story. And that's the beauty of writing about heartbreak. You get to turn the sting into something worth sharing. And when we sit down to write about those first crashes, the key isn't to relive the humiliation. It's to capture the truth of that moment so others can nod and say, "Yep, I've been there too." Writing about heartbreak can be tricky because the temptation is to get dramatic, to turn that middle school dance into a Shakespearean tragedy. But the humor and the humanity live in the small details, the crepe paper, the sweaty palms, the madras jacket that seemed so cool at the time. So if you're writing about your own first crash, here are a few things to keep in mind. Start with a place, a cafeteria, a roller rink, a movie theater lobby. Those spaces carry a memory, so put us in the room. And then show, don't summarize. Instead of saying, "I was nervous," show us how your mouth went dry, how your knees shook, how your heart pounded. But be sure to balance the pain with humor. With time, even rejection can be funny. That mix of sting and laughter is what makes a story memorable. And stay focused. One crash is enough. Don't try to cover every heartbreak in one go. Pick a story that still makes you feel something and stick to it. Heartache in memoir isn't about wallowing in self-pity. It's about finding the universal in the personal. Listeners don't just want to hear that you were embarrassed. They want to feel what it was like so they can recognize a piece of their life in yours. So here's the key takeaway. Your first heartbreak is a gift. Not at the time, it hurt too much then, but later, when you can put it on paper. Writing about it shows growth, resilience, and the sheer comedy of being human. Your crash may have left you red-faced on the dance floor, but today it can leave your readers nodding and laughing and remembering their own awkward first crush. Well, the jaunty accordion music tells me it's time for Listener's Mailbox. So let's dig in and see what we've got. This week's question comes from Dave in Ohio, who writes, "How do I keep from rambling when I write? My memories never seem to end where they should." Yeah, A lot of us have problems with rambling, Dave. Memories are a bit like dominoes. One kind of tips into the next. You sit down to write about a school dance, and before you know it, you're talking about your cousin's wedding or your first apartment. So here are a few ways to keep yourself from wandering. First, define the focus. Write one sentence before you start. For example, this story is about my first crush and my rejection at the Holiday Hop. That's your fence line. If what you're writing doesn't fit, then save it for another story. And think in scenes. A scene has a beginning, a middle, and an end. Once you've reached the end, like my dismissal on the dance floor, you stop. No epilogue is required. And when you've got it on paper, read it out loud. You'll hear where you've drifted. If you catch yourself saying, "Now this reminds me of," or something like that, that's the ramble alarm going off. When everything is done, trim it without guilt. First drafts always run long. That's normal. Editing is where you trim and shape the story down to its best form. It's better to tell one story cleanly than five stories messily. Keep it short, sharp, and true. So here's your prompt of the week. Write about your first crush and the time that love came crashing down. Don't just tell us what happened. Bring us into the scene. Where were you? Who were you with? What were you doing? Put the reader into the picture. Make them feel like they're there with you. And if you want a little twist, write the same scene from the other person's perspective. Imagine what they thought of you. You might find empathy, or you might just get a laugh. Either way, it's worth trying. Well, that's it for today's episode. Thanks for joining me. If you're enjoying the podcast, don't forget to check out the Story Sparks newsletter. Each issue includes a link to the latest episode, the weekly writing prompt, and a printable scene builder worksheet to help you turn memories into stories. It's free, and it's a great way to keep your writing going between episodes. You can subscribe anytime at memoirclub.net. I'm Wayne Jordan, and I appreciate you spending a little time with me today. Until next time, keep telling the stories that only you can tell.